of other places of higher learning. Tal, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Good, good. It's great. I've been looking forward to having this discussion with you and asking you a few questions. And let me give you just a little bit of background about the Institute of Biblical Defense, where we were on kind of political, social issues. At one time, myself included, our staff at the Institute, you know, we believed that the Republican Party had the answers when it came to protecting our freedoms. And one of our researchers, I think you know of him already, he's dialogued with you several times, Roy Wessinger. He bought one of your books. At that time, it was called When the World Will Be as One. It's now titled One World.
Yes.
And your book really opened my eyes to what's really going on out there politically, nationally, and also on a global scale, even locally.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your book entitled One World.
Well, it's really supposed to be kind of a shocker. I can tell you, it's an eye-opener, and it's a shocker. And it's shocking because, you know, it shocked me. Basically, my background, and Phil knows this, I became converted in India in a South Indian hotel room after being the top disciple of India's biggest guru, a miracle worker named Sai Baba. Mm-hmm. And I came from an atheistic background as a child, and my parents didn't believe anything, so I got into the occult at an early age. Now, let me tell you this. When I had the conversion, and Phil, I know you understand this, I had kind of a clean slate. I thought, man, I've got to relook at what reality is.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff changes.
Yep.
And, you know, I love America. After my conversion, I just treasured the Christian history of America. It wasn't Hindus that founded it.
Yeah.
It was not Islamic militants. It was Christians that found it, okay? And in the same way that Jews can consider Israel their holy land, America really was founded on Christian principles. And so I certainly took a conservative bent after my conversion, saying, look, if the biblical values are right, then morality has got to work in a nation. And you go back to the Old Testament of Israel's both obedience and apostasy, and they'd be dragged off, and then God would say, I'll give you another chance. I mean, the same thing is true with the Christians in the church. It's an old principle. And basically, One World really deals with the terrible powers behind history that have tried to inch America towards the New World Order, is the best way of putting it. I would call it a stealth invasion from what happens in public school, courtesy of John Dewey. And it's kind of an intelligentsia that's sort of depicted in Eyes Wide Shut, that final film by Kubrick. It's basically about Satanists, who are the richest, most powerful people in the world, and Tom Cruise is a useful idiot, stumbles in on them, and is not ready to even conceive of what's going on. He's Trey Sample. He doesn't have the IQ or the historical awareness of what these people are doing. And I think the same thing is happening with America. So what really worries me, you know, and where I think a lot of people are going to wake up realizing that maybe the Republican Party has changed inside, is that the real bottom line with old conservatisms is that you kept your faith and you kept your freedoms. And what's happening after 9/11 is the quickest stealth invasion, an end run around the Constitution at a level unthought of, unheard of, inconceivable.
You know, I think Francis Schaeffer's words are prophetic. He talked about in ancient Rome, how the laws began to promote immorality instead of protecting the good citizens, the people began to cry out, as violence increased, the people began to cry out to the emperor to take away their freedoms in return for security.
Oh, boy. Oh, man, what an absolutely apropos quote that is. You're dead right on.
Now, you know, so many of our friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord are really convinced that the moral majority of the Christian Coalition, mm-hmm. the Republican Party, or George W. Bush mm-hmm. is going to rescue America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the phrase, the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, number one, explain what the New World Order is and where George W. Bush stands on that issue.
Well, the New World Order was certainly mentioned by his father.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go back far. Let's go back to his father, who mm-hmm. you will remember is a former president, and he talked about, and I quoted my book, and I don't have time to find it now, but he basically said that the world is in waiting for a New World Order, unlike anything that's happened. It was just 1,000 points of light speed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yep.
played often enough. And he's been quoted often enough by all the major papers.
Mm-hmm.
And so his father had certainly talked about it. And the interesting thing is that his grandfather, and I'm going to get esoteric on you, Prescott Bush, was mm-hmm. was also, like the other two, a member of Yale Skull and Bones,
yeah.
who was a member of Harriman Brown Brothers Bank, which happened to fund partially the Bolshevik Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, and this is the great paradigm, what's capitalism doing funding Bolshevism? And my
yeah.
book explains the dynamics of that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you've got the granddad sort of setting up a new world order
mm-hmm.
by creating another power block that down history is going to end up merging with America. You know,
mm-hmm.
So many of these things are happening. So a new world order is a transnational global state or world government. The only way you can pull this one off, if you happen to have a strong conservative America, is either crush
yeah.
it from the inside,
yeah.
have Howard Stern on every channel, and have your kids freebasing cocaine
yeah.
and having gay parties, and believe mm-hmm. me, it's going to go down real fast,
yeah.
or you debauch the currency like John Maynard Keynes did. You get off the gold standard and you go to
yeah.
fiat paper. That's already happened.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you use the media and television and everything else to corrupt the people, make them docile, make them cowards, make them stupid. I think
yeah.
that's happened.
Yeah.
And then you begin to push basically socialistic legislation. So it's to the point
yeah.
where Madeleine Albright of Clinton's government said to Harvard at their commencement address, let me just tell you what she said. This is Harvard. This is not some
yeah.
junior college.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Secretary of State. This is not some nutball some kind of a basement talking
yeah.
paranoia, okay? Today I say, she says, that no nation in the world need be left out of the global system we are constructing.
Mm-hmm.
They have the IQ at Harvard to yeah. know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
It's a new world order.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and my book goes into all of this stuff, the Council on Foreign Relations, the
yeah.
Trilateral Commission, what the background of our central bank, which was taken from the Treasury, the ability to coin currency, and there's
mm-hmm.
a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is that America's heritage by stealth has been redefined and stolen, and after 9/11, it's like 20 geniuses put together the Patriot Act that all of a sudden...
Yeah.
Fred, I mean, you know, it,
yeah.
it what materializes
yeah.
within hours of this thing is though
yeah.
it was sitting there
yeah.
waiting for an excuse
yeah.
to come out. Come on.
Yeah, and it's interesting how wannabe dictators have been able to either use catastrophes
yeah.
or actually produce them themselves
mm-hmm.
in order to use it as an excuse to gain more power, more control.
Oh, yeah. Boy. No, absolutely right. And so, you know, what you and I know is this, and I used to be part of the old anti-Christian music movement before I was a Christian. I was into the big 60s explosion
yeah.
of LSD and free sex with gals and, I did it all. I did
mm-hmm.
the psychedelics. I did the whole thing.
Yeah.
Later, I realized, my golly, this wave has been destroying the country.
Yeah.
We're losing so much. We're not gaining anything.
So for the benefit of our listeners, in the 1960s, isn't something really of the past. These people are still around.
Maybe. Oh, they've taken over. They've taken over corporate leadership.
Yeah.
They're running the country. I mean,
So they've taken baths, they cut their hair, and they put on three-piece suits, and they're working within the system now.
Yeah, but their beliefs, you see, underneath that invisible part of their brain, it's just they don't believe like the old America does. I mean,
And I'd like to talk about that, too, a little bit there.
Absolutely. Now, let me just mention one thing about what we've... there was a book that came out, and my book mentions these points, you know, 20 years ago, that said, watch out for the following. Watch out for what could happen. Can I read to you some of these things?
Sure, sure.
All right. Watch out for the abolition of private ownership of handguns. Remember, the early militia enable you to protect yourself. In fact, the only protection was the militia, and that's the big Second Amendment. Abolition of private property of ownership of handguns. So what do you say? Well, we're going to sue the gun people, or we're going to make bullets $30 a piece. Or we're going to make the fact that you're just having it in your car makes you a criminal. So they've done that. Detention of individuals without judicial process. Well, gang, after the Patriot Act, this is now happening. Detention of individuals without judicial process. Yeah. Requirements that private financial transactions be keyed to Social Security numbers. Use of compulsory education laws to forbid attendance in private schools. Yeah. I mean, one world goes into, my book goes into all this stuff.
Now, do you think, by the way, Bill Clinton, do you think he would have been able to get away with some of the things that George W. Bush is getting away with right now?
Well, they needed a conservative to pull the wool over the eyes of conservatives who'd go nuts if Clinton did it. We'd have a revolution.
Yeah.
Because they believe a Christian patriot is doing it, their defenses are down.
Yeah.
So, and in one world, my book, and I guess at some point we'll tell people how to get it, but goes into this stuff.
Yeah. In fact, let me do that right now.
You want to get,
if you want, would like to order Tal Brooks' book entitled One World, which goes into what is really going on behind the scenes. Believe me, I didn't want to admit it because my colleagues would laugh at stuff like this and say, oh, you conspiracy nut and this and that. But when you look into, when you read a book like this that's been written by a scholar like Tal Brook, and you see the evidence, you examine the evidence, you see this stuff is really coming down in our midst, and we had better do something about it because this is bad and it's coming from the demonic side. But if you'd like to order his book, I believe you can get the book and have it mailed, priority mail, for $19.95. So for under $20, you can just call 1-800-266-5564. That's 1-800-266-5564. And the title of the book is One World by Tal Brook. Tal, we're going to be coming up on a break in just a minute.
Sure.
But there's so many things I'd like to talk with you about. One is a little bit more in-depth on your spiritual journey and Sai Baba.
Absolutely.
And if the miraculous really is occurring over there. Because there's even Christian thinkers like Norman Geisler who believe that demonic miracles are just sleight of hand.
There are such a thing, but I have to now tell you, I've talked with Norm. Mm-hmm. He believes, of course, in the Pharaoh taking on the Pharaoh's court magi, trying to battle Moses. Those are
interesting
acts, and I believe them. Unfortunately, Sai Baba has kind of come out of the closet in a couple areas that I'll tell you about.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that topic in just a minute here on the Christian Worldview.
Hello, this is Eric Purcell, the co-host of the Christian Worldview. I'd like to invite you to attend the church services of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and I preach the Word of God, 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale, Washington, just a short distance from the Kitsap Mall. That's Trinity Bible Fellowship, meeting at the Clear Creek Community Club in Silverdale, Washington. For more information, call 360-698-7382. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. The Institute of Biblical Defense is an organization that believes and teaches that biblical Christianity is not reserved for the uneducated and unstable, as some would have us believe. We present and defend our faith to prove that point. Science, philosophy, history, archaeology, All the evidence points to an empty tomb outside Jerusalem, God's greatest miracle in an unbelieving world. If you'd like to learn more, check out the Institute at www.biblicaldefense.org or give us a call at 360-698-7382.
Top of the morning to you, Roger.
Happy to it, mate.
Have you had your tea this morning?
Great quality, thank you.
Lovely. Now we can get on with our channeling.
This morning, I think we're going to bring up the spirit of Joseph Stalin.
Oh, my.
Ready? Come here on. We go.
Oh, Mr. Stalin, come forth from the afterlife.
How
and
Joey
grant
boy,
us wisdom.
Ew, that doesn't sound good.
Where will you be the day after you die?
Trust me, Jesus.
Aw, Gene, do you ever, like, look at the stars and wonder why they're, like, bright?
Yeah, man, like, I was wondering the other day why it all started.
No, I don't know, but it's like, they're everywhere. Wow.
It's cool that I get to change my reality whenever I want to.
No, cool.
If you like discussing the big questions, you'll like the Christian Worldview. Here at the Institute of Biblical Defense, we discuss the big questions, only without the hallucinogenic drugs. Dr. Phil Fernandez, the president of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the pastor of Trinity Bible Fellowship. This is the Christian Worldview on KGNW 820 AM. And we're interviewing a very interesting man, a scholar named Tal Brook, who is the president of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project located in Berkeley, California. Tal, when we left, we were talking about the miracles. And it's interesting that you brought that up because I was at a lecture that Geisler was giving, a conference on the New Age movement, and he basically tossed all occultic miracles aside as sleight of hand. And so I raised my hand. I usually don't do that. I usually don't disrupt a lecture and all, but I just mentioned to him that, you know, well, what about the Egyptian sorcerers who turned the staffs into snakes? And,
right.
You know, he was saying that it's a common sleight of hand trick and that type of thing. But you were mentioning that you had a conversation with him about...
Well, yeah, I mentioned that, too. So he maybe has changed his view. It's hard to tell. Because the absolute weakness of that viewpoint is that it really denies the supernatural. And people say, well, why the heck should we believe you're Jesus?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
just the same way. I mean,
yep.
you know, give us a break. And so... I think that's very naive, and certainly when you study some of the great, even the soothsaying spirit in the Book of Acts of the girl following Paul around.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that was from a soothsaying spirit. Legion
yeah.
is the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, you see possession taking place. You see yeah. all kinds of things.
Yeah, there's a Presbyterian philosopher, Gordon Clark. Years ago, he died, I think, in 84, 85, but years ago when he was being ordained,
mm-hmm.
he was being questioned on this, and the point that he brought up was that the same Greek words for miracles used
mm-hmm.
of biblical miracles, godly miracles,
mm-hmm.
are also used of the demonic realm. And, you know, I was reading several of your books, and you're...
Mm-hmm.
When you were a follower of Sai Baba,
mm-hmm.
and it appears that the supernatural... there is a supernatural element to
yeah.
the Eastern gurus.
Yeah, I have to be dead honest with you and tell you that from my early days with him, when some of these dramatic miracles seemed to happen, I cannot explain this totally, but since he's had a number of public scandals in Morrill Falls, it's almost like the plug was pulled on him. Okay.
Wow, wow.
And I need to tell you this because he has been caught... After I exposed him in a bunch of you know, stage magic type stunts,
yeah.
and then the question already is, you know, for people who saw him in the early days and they thought, wow, you know,
yeah.
there's some things that had to be, you know, occult that, you know, that David Copperfield doesn't do, that
yeah.
none of these people do,
yeah.
you know, and the only thing I can think of is that as he has been outed, as my book did. As frankly a pedophile.
Oh no.
Yeah, his Avatar of Night.
Yeah.
My book goes into that, which was a bestseller in India.
Yeah.
You know, a 400-page book. some really weird things have happened in the sense of it looks like the powers that be have said, we got a loser here, let's bounce it. I used to say it that way. It's like in a board meeting, we're running a corporation, we're funding this wizard.
Yep.
He blows it, and you say, Harry, we're going to just turn all your power off. You're a loser.
Yeah.
I think in some ways that's happened to him.
Yeah.
And he has been busted faking it. And, we may never know some of these things, but I felt enough of this power in India to be absolutely certain, guess what? The supernatural is alive and well.
Yeah. Before we move on, if I could just give you the title of four of your books that I've read over the years.
Sure.
If you can just give me a one sentence overview, and I have a question for you too. At this 800 number, can you get these books as well?
Yeah, you can actually.
Good.
They can get One World. They can get Avatar of Night. They can get The Mystery of Death. They can get Riders of the Cosmic Circuit. And the people will tell you the price. Basically, it's a pretty good deal.
Okay, now Mysteries of Death, that was the other side of death originally?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay, if you could tell our listeners what...
The Mystery of Death. Hey, gang, you've read Moody's Life After Life. You've seen John Edward on Sci-Fi Channel channeling, supposedly, these people. You've seen Von Prague. And this book goes into some of the deep stuff that's going on there.
Like with the near-death experiences?
Yep.
Avatar of Night.
Well, that's the 400-page book of my years in India and childhood, being brought up by diplomatic parents and living overseas and being brought up an atheist and getting into the supernatural and going to India to get enlightened and literally running into the demonic, no joke, and then getting converted in a hotel room.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much your testimony, and boy,
that's pretty much it.
It's a lot of action on every page.
Yeah.
Riders of the Cosmic Circuit.
Well, that deals with what you and I would call super possession, and it's a close look at the three big heavies of our time, Muktananda, Rajneesh, and Sai Baba.
Yeah.
Who you don't find these kinds of people in America. When someone has been given over to other forces to this extent, they're like hollow flutes played on by other powers. In other words, they're in total possession. They claim to be God. And two of them are dead, of course, Rajneesh and Muktananda. So it goes into we could call it the metapsychology of total possession.
And that Rajneesh certainly made a big impact out here in the Pacific Northwest.
He was
right
there in Antelope, Oregon.
Yeah.
Right there with 99 Rolls Royces. Do you think they dropped out of the sky? If that ain't power, something. And I was in India in Pune for riders spying on the guy. And was just amazed.
Some of the scariest pages of that book. I have to admit, when Rajneesh was up here doing his thing, I just didn't look into it. I thought, just another fly-by-night flake.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read your book, I thought, man, it's amazing that the amount of demonic power that this guy had.
A very dark spirit was inside of him.
Yeah.
And when you get to the fact that in India there were people that disappeared, and they were looking for what you and I would call an orgasmic human sacrifice, then they're opening doors into the dark realms that your average American just doesn't have a clue about.
Yeah. Well, and it's sad too because we just assume here in America, we've tried Christianity, it doesn't work, and blah blah blah. Let's go east. Let's try Hinduism. And I think that your book there, several of your books show that, look, if America goes east, if we jump on this New Age bandwagon, this is what America is going to look like.
That's basically it. You go to India, you say, okay, if this is the greatest philosophy on the face of the earth, how are these people living? Are they doing well? Are they happy? Are they prosperous? And you think, although they all believe that they're God, how come most of them are living like earthworms?
Yeah.
Answer that one.
Well, if you'd like to order Tal Brooks' One World or any of his other books, The Other Side of Death, Avatar of Night, Riders of the Cosmic Circuit, you can order those books using this 800 number, 1-800-266-5564. That's 1-800-266-5564. Now, Tal, let's zoom in once again on your One World book.
Sure.
We talked about the New World Order as a movement towards a one world government.
Yes.
We talked about the fact that, you know, we don't really have time to get into the skull and bones, but
right.
When I first heard about that, I have to admit, I was very skeptical. And but George W. Bush is a member of that, as was his father, as his grandfather. But the United Nations, now I'm not even sure, the United Nations might be disposed of. I'm not even sure if it's as big of a player as I once thought. I don't think it's as essential as it had looked at one time. But at this point, I still think it's the leading candidate for the structure of the one world government. I don't know if you agree on that, but what I'd like you to do is share with us a little bit about the spiritual climate at the UN. Obviously, it's not Christian. What spiritual world?
Well, here's the thing to remember about the UN. It may or may not be useful in the transition. It was certainly they were trying desperately to create it, and they did in 1948. It finally came into being. It was. When Versailles failed to have the League of Nations and Woodrow Wilson came back. And what you're really talking about here is an initial platform for globalism.
Yes.
I mean, whether it ever gets teeth or they try something else, it almost doesn't matter, because there are lots of plays being made in which we are very quickly going towards that.
Yeah.
I mean, when all the politicians are calling for it, you're halfway there.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
When the Bilderbergers meet and then prescribe the next global event, you see it happen, you think, they're not in there eating ice cream. You've got the richest people in the world planning what should happen. So it's almost like the people are being herded like domestic animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly true. If you read Patriot Act 2, it's enough to blow your brains out.
Yeah.
And did you know, speaking of the UN and all this, that Patriot Act 1 wasn't read by a single member of the House or the Senate before it was passed.
Yeah.
It wasn't even printed. They liked the name of it.
Wow.
They passed it. Ron Paul read it late for it and went in a shock.
Yeah, Ron Paul is one of the few
congressmen
that's out there that knows about the New World Order.
Well, he's written about the Patriot Act,
and
he was the first to say, look, my colleagues didn't read it because it wasn't printed.
Yeah. Now, you know, but before we move on, you were quoting from something from 20 years ago, and I think I might have cut you off before you told me.
Well, you know, these are the points to look out for, and here they are.
Yeah.
Abolition of private property, ownership of handguns for sure. Now, we've all seen the private property thing with federal forfeiture, and the drug is the end run. They say, well, for us to stop drugs, we need to do this.
Yeah.
Drugs have gotten worse. It's the same with the open borders. Here we have threats scaring the willy out of Americans that a nuke could go off or reservoir poison. And a big camera shows hundreds of thousands crossing the border. Come on, friends.
Yeah.
What are you dealing with? Yeah. Get a brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're pouring over the border.
Yeah.
Come on. You think Al-Qaeda or whoever can't join it?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, and now
And then you're searching grandmothers at the airport, taking their clothes off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
while these people are pouring over the border, get an IQ.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like rather than I can't remember who it was, but some leader stated that why send all these troops to Iraq when if we just use these troops, if we want to use them for something, use them to protect our borders.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then let's start going for people who are here who aren't citizens, rather than taking out the citizens. We're going to come back in just a minute. We're talking
with
Tal Brook, the author of One World.
Dr. Phil Fernandez founded the Institute of Biblical Defense in 1990 for the purpose of defending the Christian faith and training others to do the same. If you'd like to contact the Institute, please call us at area code 360-698-7382 or write us at P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington 98310, or visit our website at www.biblicaldefense.org.
Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and Eric Purcell preach at Trinity Bible Fellowship. Trinity Bible Fellowship is a small family church that meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club, about 1 mile north of the Kitsap Mall. All are welcome. For further information, please call us at 360-698-7382. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Hello, this is Eric Purcell, the co-host of the Christian Worldview. I'd like to invite you to attend the church services of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and I preach the Word of God, 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale, Washington, just a short distance from the Kitsap Mall. That's Trinity Bible Fellowship, meeting at the Clear Creek Community Club in Silverdale, Washington. For more information, call 360-698-7382. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. The Institute of Biblical Defense is an organization that believes and teaches that biblical Christianity is not reserved for the uneducated and unstable, as some would have us believe. We present and defend our faith to prove that point. Science, philosophy, history, archaeology, all the evidence points to an empty tomb outside Jerusalem, God's greatest miracle in an unbelieving world. If you'd like to learn more, check out the Institute at www.biblicaldefense.org or give us a call at 360-698-7382.
This is Dr. Phil Fernandez, The Christian Worldview, and today we're interviewing Tal Brook, the president of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. And, you know, Tal, it's just a breath of fresh air to see that there's so many Christian leaders who are out to lunch in so many areas.
Well, they're being herded naively.
Yeah, and it's really good to see that someone doing scholarly work that acknowledges that this new world order is something we need to take a closer look at.
Yep.
And you're proclaiming this message. I really, really recommend your book, One World. Christians in America, our voice in the political, moral, cultural arena has almost been stifled because we're settling for the Republican Party line. And so if you'd like to order this book, One World by Tal Brook, you can get it for under $20, and that counts the priority mailing. You can get it by calling 1-800-266-5564. That's 1-800-266-5564. You know, Tal, just for the sake of our listeners, if you could define what the New Age movement or neo-paganism is, and talk about some of their basic tenets.
Well, let me throw this one out. You know, if there's been a lot of planning for world government, and, you know, part of that, if you and I are in a think tank, and we have a lot of power at our disposal, a lot of money, and there are a lot of smart people in there. They think, well, okay, now what do we do to kind of move this thing into action? And we've been seeing it happen, of course. The UN was one phase. Now let's talk about the spiritual end of it. And this is where New Age is important. You know something? You can't have it. One of the important pillars of world fusion, you certainly need an economic currency. You need global taxation, a global court. You need all these things to kind of merge bit by bit. The other thing you need is an inclusive faith so the fundamentalists quit you know, battling each other. And so you push, and that's why there have been so many New York Times bestsellers that were all New Age. They're pushing the publishing giants, and I could talk for an hour on publishing in the very few groups that actually control publishing. I'm talking about very wealthy families like Newhouse, and I'm talking about some giant groups that really control it. And once you control publishing, you can really decide what you're going to publish.
Yeah.
You know, and then the people keep reading the same junk in the newspapers, and they see it on TV. The bottom line, bro, is that the New Age movement is a westernized distillation of what really would be the Genesis 3 lie: "You will be as God." But uptech with scientific metaphor, so it seems to be a generic man-based spirituality where we're promised divinity. It's a great way to put the herd dead to sleep. It's like giving everyone tranquilizers. And You know, and there are lots of different aspects of this, from Deepak Chopra to the latest channelers to, you know, I mean, Shirley MacLaine was 20 years ago. There's tons of these people out there.
Yeah.
And what it does is it creates a generic spirituality that denies a personal biblical God, that denies sin. You can have your cake and eat it too. And it's the same apostate spirituality that the Canaanites, the Canaanites and the Babylonians were playing with. But this is more evolved than what they played with. And it's a feel good thing. And the real danger is if I can trump your spirituality with something that's the equivalent of a forged bill, and you accept it, then you're not going to see the real one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a deception, is the bottom line.
Well, one of the things I like about your book, One World, is how you show. You don't just say, "Hey, this thing is here." You show how we got to this point, and you show some really key people, Carl Jung, Edgar Cayce, and just key people throughout the generations.
Yep.
That kind of weakened our Christian base and led us to the point where the idea that man is God is something very attractive to many Americans. So that
it's a course that I went on. I personally studied Edgar Cayce, and you can study this in some Masonic beliefs, and you can study it in the Indian gurus, and you can study it in a lot of areas. Where it is, I mean, even the Jesuit paleontologist Teilhard de Chardin, who lived within a few blocks of the UN, was one of the key Jesuit brains who said what we need, and when he talked about the noosphere and the omega point, is a confluence of world faiths based on the mystical paradigm. Well, my book goes into what the mystical paradigm is.
Yeah.
So, sure, you got your Barbara Mark Hubbards and your Robert Muellers, and there are tons of these people.
Yeah.
You have the United Religions Initiative.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, the URI is just one more major stepping stone in this thing, and it may be formalized. It may be the big key. We don't know yet. You know, Gorbachev heading it up along with, you know, some other players, Bishop Swing. Here's the way to look at it. Since the major denominations have gone down the tube and been apostatized, starting with higher German criticism, you know, Helge Schicht and Wellhausen from Germany, and then people like Paul Tillich at Harvard, and Bultmann, and once you've got Bultmann's demythologized kerygma within the Christian so-called faith, the only thing left with these empty churches is kind of empty, pious, social movement stuff. Do good. Let's give a glass of water to the urchin. So I feel good about myself. Forget the kid. I want to feel good about me.
Yeah.
And then they're wide open for this new, sort of new age, neo-pagan spirituality. They've got nothing else.
Yep.
That's what's happened with the church.
Now this United Religions Initiative wants to bring about a United Religions organization. Could you tell us kind of
it's the paradigm. It's the same structure as the United Nations, and it was actually they had their big meeting at Grace Cathedral in the mid 90s, and Bishop Swing was there, and the Dalai Lama, and all the notables, and they traced the steps of the UN, which was put together at the Fairmont Hotel on Nob Hill. They went to the same room. Follow me now. They wanted to duplicate the same political arrangement of the UN, but with spiritual leaders.
Yeah.
And like any sort of naive detente, they can't have true believers. They've got to have open-minded politicos. And what you're talking about is if you think that the Protestants have gone down the tube, and they have, a gay in every pulpit, right, and a lesbian as his associate, then certainly this new homogenization, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you get the poodle in the pulpit with the shaman, and just call it a day. Okay.
Now this United Religions organization, I believe they wanted to bring it about. Was it the year 2005?
That's one of their goals, correct.
Yeah.
But like the UN, listen, they have to keep rearranging it. But
yeah.
Again, the thing to remember, the very fact that this structure exists, the very fact that huge money and media has been behind it, what does it tell you? Is it high in the sky? Yeah. Is it not real?
Yes, this is something
I don't
to worry
think so.
About. Yeah.
I think it's very real. The fact that it's tangibly, they're trying to buy land in the Presidio of San Francisco, give me a break.
Yeah. Now you mentioned Mikhail Gorbachev, and a lot of people, like I at one time believed, well, he was a has-been and all, but...
This is the thing that amazes you about the global players. They can reinvent each other, and they can give them promotions, and he's alive and well, thank you very much, at the Presidio.
Yeah.
And, you know, he started the Greenpeace thing. He's a heavy there. He spoke with Al Gore in Rio on the whole ecology thing. I mean, hug a tree, Al. And so these people are very earth sensitive while they're just downing tons of beluga caviar, I might add.
Yeah. And now Maurice Strong is another
He's another player, of course. He was at the big Denver ecology thing with the big bankers, including David Rockefeller and Rothschild were there. And he's, again, advocating, you know, he's got his own center at the Sacra Mountains in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And he is an absolute no-ager, and he's tied in with a lot of the really big money players.
Yeah. You know, and whenever I heard people talking about the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all that stuff, I just thought, no, this is going too far.
Yeah.
But it was your book, One World. It was, you know, originally titled When the World Will Be as One.
Yeah.
Where I realized, no, I'm dealing with some scholarly research here.
I'm not the only one, too. I mean, the thing that really outed this thing is an Ivy League professor who taught at Harvard and my alma mater, Princeton, whose name was Carol Quigley.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, with impeccable footnoting, was the real one to out it by mistake. They shredded his book, and you know the one I'm going to mention.
Yeah.
It's called Tragedy and Hope, A History of Our Time, a 1,200-page tome.
Yeah.
That was taken out of the Library of Congress, out of bookstores, and turned into confetti, my friends.
Yeah, and it's—I've got a copy of that, and it is.
I do too. The copy you have is probably printed in Taiwan, is my guess.
Boy, and I tell you, it's—he documents everything. Yet it's like incredibly boring. Whereas in your book, you give an overview, and it's a good read. It's
well,
a real
exciting.
Well,
the thing with the academic stealth approach is if you speak. Like an Ivy League scholar, you're going to already lose 99% of the people. That's why they don't get into Ivy League schools. They don't have the aptitude. And then beyond that, if you use very neutral scholar, neutral grade phraseology, you can say, and you already know this, the most outrageous stuff that if you do it right, no one's going to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that a lot of that is going on right now. You talk about the dumbing down of America.
Oh,
and,
you know, gosh.
It's just...
unbelievable.
Like you mentioned, our leaders signing the Patriot Act 1, and they didn't read it. That's how we vote in this country. We hear a soundbite, and we say, I like that soundbite, so I'll just vote that way.
And they have voted away 200 years of constitutional rights and rights from the Declaration of Independence and rights from that we've had with hard fought blood and warnings from people, you know, I might add, like, you know, obviously Jefferson and obviously Washington and Madison and Franklin. And Franklin actually said, they that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. That's Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. Now we're coming up on a break, Tal. And for our listeners, if you would like to order Tal Brooks' One World, you can order it at 1-800-266-5564. That's 1-800-266-5564 to order Tal Brooks' One World. We're going to be going to a break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask... Tal, what's wrong with the one world government?
Top of the morning to you, Roger.
How are you doing, mate?
Have you had your tea this morning?
Great spot of tea, thank you. Lovely.
Now we can get on with our channeling. This morning, I think we're going to bring up the spirit of Joseph Stalin.
Oh, my.
Ready? Here we go. Oh, Mr. Stalin. Come forth from the afterlife and grant us wisdom.
sound good?
Where will you be the day after you die?
Trust Jesus.
Aw, dude, did you ever, like, look at the stars and wonder why they're, like, bright?
Yeah, man, like, I was wondering the other day why it all started.
No, I don't know, but it's like, they're everywhere. Wow.
It's cool that I get to change my reality whenever I want to.
No, cool.
If you like discussing the big questions, you'll like the Christian Worldview. Here at the Institute of Biblical Defense, we discuss the big questions, only without the hallucinogenic drugs.
Dr. Phil Fernandez founded the Institute of Biblical Defense in 1990 for the purpose of defending the Christian faith and training others to do the same. If you'd like to contact the Institute, please call us at area code 360-698-7382 or write us at P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington 98310, or visit our website at www.biblicaldefense.org.
Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and Eric Purcell preach at Trinity Bible Fellowship. Trinity Bible Fellowship is a small family church that meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club, about 1 mile north of the Kitsap Mall. All are welcome. For further information, please call us at 360-698-7382. We're looking forward to seeing you.
This is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the President of the Institute of Biblical Defense, Pastor of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Tonight we have with us Tal Brook, and before we get back to the interview, if you'd like to contact us at the Institute, probably the best way to get a hold of us would be just logging on to our website, www.biblicaldefense.org. That's biblicaldefense.org. We've got books, we've got audio cassettes, and you can find our emails there and that type of thing, and just see what we're about. We've got certificate programs, and we'd love to hear from you. Tonight we're talking with Tal Brook, and if you would like to order his book on One World, which just busts open the floodgates. I mean, it just reveals this new world order, this push towards a one world government, what is going on behind the scenes. It shows how we're being lied to. It shows how much energy the Christian right is wasting by just supporting a party platform, the Republican Party, when many of the key leaders on the national level in the Republican Party are actually backing this. But I really recommend, I really think that especially conservative Christians as well as non-Christians, but especially conservative Christians need this book, One World. The author is Tal Brook, and you can order it at 1-800-266-5564. That's 1-800-266-5564. You know, Tal, before we move on and talk about what's exactly wrong with having a one-world government, I'm just wondering if you could give a website or an address or a phone number or something that so that people can get hold of Spiritual Counterfeits Project. I know you guys have a newsletter and a journal. You're doing scholarly work.
Yeah, we
want to promote it as much as possible.
Yeah, the webpage is www.scp, Sam Cat Peter, scp-inc for incorporated, .org for organization.
Okay.
And we're on the web. But, yeah, you know, what's wrong with being in a world, one-world system? And that is the big question. And my question is, who but an utter idiot would throw away complete freedom and liberty and happiness to enter a slave state as never before? How many people would leave America in its heyday in the 50s where everyone had a house and they had money in the bank and they could, they weren't under the sort of environmental regulations and search and seizure police stuff we are now. They weren't under an IRS that could haunt you to the end of the land.
Yeah.
And then trade that to say, you know, I really want to be under Joseph Stalin. Let me just put me in handcuffs and smack me on the head, you know, with a metal bar and pop me in jail. And beyond that, you regulate what I eat, and if you want to torture me, go for it. Only a psychotic would trade that sort of freedom for what it is to be in a tyranny, because if you're in a tyranny, study the Roman emperors, study Stalin, study Mao, study Pol Pot. They can If they feel like it, they can take a hypodermic and inject gasoline in your eyeball or burn you with a blowtorch.
Yeah.
They can treat you like an animal. And I think what Americans need to do is go off and rent Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman. You want to know what it's like right now? They've got those powers.
Yeah.
Rent 1984, Richard Burton's last movie based on the novel by George Orwell. If you can't read, hey, see the movie, 1984. If you're a yawner and you want to see Howard Stern, just wait for them to come in your living room and haul you away like chattel on a farm.
Yeah.
And the New World Order will be a techno-dictatorship under ruthless power if the Bible's warnings about mercantile and mystical Babylon, the great global system where every citizen is marked, where he can't, and of course now that we got barcodes and the other stuff, it's pretty easy to mark people, and with computer systems and with economics tied into it.
Yeah.
Therefore, the biblical metaphor or description or language of that suddenly becomes reality. What would have baffled Martin Luther and Calvin suddenly, under the era of computers and barcodes, gets closer to hitting home.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting too because I've seen articles in Time Magazine, Computer Source Magazine, which is it just comes right out and talks about moving towards a cashless society and how advantageous it would be, microchip under the skin and
things
of that sort. Now, what would you say to those who say, "Yeah, but we're Christians, and since we're Christians, we'll be removed from the earth before anything gets really, really bad"?
Well, that hangs on the slimmest of eschatology, and I think you're talking about the sad teaching of the rapture, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And that that makes the second coming of Christ a joke. Because today, when I say it's part A and part B, and then there's part C. So he's going to sneak here, and he's going to sneak back there. And it wasn't around in the early church. It didn't come around until the mid-1800s.
Yep.
It was a revelation from a Scottish lass named Mary MacDonald, a 15-year-old teenage girl in Port Glasgow, Scotland, who taught the saints would go flapping up into the sky and they wouldn't suffer. Only a moron believes that.
And
it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And all the people that push it, like the Left Behind crowd, make big money on it. It creates jelly roll Christians who can't suffer and don't have the character of slugs. And they're going to go out and take over the world because, they're going to go up in the sky. No, they're not.
Yeah, that's, I think it
was. I had an argument with Dave Hunt about that.
Really?
Back in L.A. 20 years ago. I said, Dave, you're a friend of mine, but I got news, pal, it ain't going to happen. It still hadn't happened. And by between now and then, 30 people have screwed the date. It hadn't happened.
Yeah. Yeah,
give me a break.
It's really sad. The earliest
it's eisegesis. It's,
yeah,
it's cultic thinking.
Yeah,
it's from dispensational eschatology, which really was lionized when Schofield did his Bible commentary. It's like other people help him write it, and it's if ever there were a doctrine that would completely handcuff the church's effectiveness in culture, believe me, this thing has done it, and it's as weird as the worst sci-fi drama. And they're all going up now.
Yeah,
those cars careening off this freeway.
Yeah.
It's about as real as sci-fi.
Yeah, it's a Corrie Ten Boom was so, in the later years of her life, was so disgusted with that doctrine that the American church thinks it's so precious that when the persecution of Christians, which is going on right now throughout the globe, once it comes to America, God's going to take away his precious American church, and she viewed it as purely an American Christian doctrine that was not grounded in the scriptures.
Exactly right. It started in Europe, but you'll notice that evangelicals in other parts of the world, but this interesting country of ours, threw it out a long time ago.
Yeah,
I mean, basically, it happened with
Irving and his church,
and
then Darbyism, which became pretty much dispensationalism.
Yeah, it really came from a Jesuit priest named Lacunza, and they basically used that. And I can't, it's a longer story where he got it, but it's a whole eschatological view that's very dishonest.
Yep.
But Hal Lindsey's bestseller launched it.
Yep, well,
all the big Bible schools, Dallas and Moody, push it. And then people, you see, since they follow leaders and not the Word of God, Hey, if Uncle Joe believes...
Tell, I hate to stop you right there, yeah. but we're going to have to interview you again one of these days. We'll talk more, but we're gonna close out. I'll give you the number for Tal Brooks' book, One World, one more time, 1-800-266-5564. This is Dr. Phil Fernandez of the Christian Worldview. God bless you.